Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. And don't forget, by the way, next week we go on in Auburn, Alabama. So WANI, we look forward to adding them to the fold next week. In the meantime, listen, we're switching gears. DEI. How many times have I talked about that mess on this show? DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. You know, it's the secret sauce that liberals use to get any agenda they want in. That's how it's their all, you know, all encompassing ability to throw things together and call it DEI. And it's insidious and it's everywhere. It's in the public sector, the private sector, it's in the military, it's everywhere. And the Trump administration has really been leading here lately. But I'll tell you right now, the fight has already been ongoing. It's not like it just started with Trump taking office. The Alabama state legislature has taken action, and the Alabama attorney general has been very much a part of the fight, and he's on the line right now. Attorney General Steve Marshall from the state of Alabama, he and I just saw each other up in D.C. at the inaugural here recently, and he is on the line right now. Mr. Attorney General, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and congrats on the continued expanding footprint.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's still trying to figure out how all this happened.
It wasn't by accident. You're always right.
Well,
it's good to see you up there. And hey, it was a new dawn when that inauguration took place, and you know, the president talked about the golden age of our country. And I really think we have the opportunity to be able to do that.
I do as well. I mean, I don't use those terms lightly. I mean, I really feel like we're on the cusp of seeing an entirely new era. And Lord, there's nowhere to go but up based on some of the things we've experienced the last few years. But Mr. Attorney General, you've been in the fight. You know, one of the things that I've pointed out is that you have really made it your mission to make sure the AG's office is not just about solely focusing on prosecuting crimes within the state of Alabama. You care about the things that your constituencies care about largely, and you protect the state from the outside, you know, looking in sometimes. One of those things has been DEI. And you've been taking some heat. AL.com, that bastion of conservative reporting, has come out and said, why don't you focus on your real job, they say. Talk about DEI, if you don't mind, and then I want to talk about it in the private sector.
Yeah, you know, first, if I can't trigger AL.com, then what good am I, right? I mean, it would show that we're not on the right side. But look, we have a question in this country. Do we fundamentally believe that all people should be created and treated equally? And if we believe that should be the public policy and the philosophy and the principle in which we are grounded as a nation, then DEI shouldn't be a part of our vernacular. I mean, this is a program in which we say that we're going to create quotas that have nothing to do with merit, that have nothing to do with talent, but are simply identified by either your race or your gender or some other characteristic. And what's interesting, and of course, this was brought to light with our recent letter against Costco, which interestingly is a company whose motto says, do the right thing.
Yeah.
Well, is it the right thing to intentionally discriminate in the hiring of employees? And I don't think so.
No, and I would agree with that. Let me ask you, I mean, there's this fine line. I'm a small government guy, but I also recognize that government has its role. There's a fine line sometimes between government dictating and government protecting. So how do we deal with the private sector? I mean, certainly we can give orders to those who receive state and federal funds. Government can do that. But when the private sector is doing its thing, how do we address that without becoming an overreaching entity?
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I think that's truly where the tension exists sometimes when you evaluate these questions. But look, let's also sort of make it clear that the public policy of our legislature and passed in the last session is it involves state agencies and educational institutions is that we're not going to have DEI. So Alabama is clearly on record through our legislative body to be able to say that this is not a process that we endorse. And uniquely, the pushback against Costco. It wasn't saying that somehow or another we're about to sue you, but it involved whether or not Costco as an organization was going to be transparent with their shareholders to say, we're going to assess and evaluate our DEI policies. We're going to talk to you about the financial impact of doing that and allow shareholders to decide and engage on whether or not that creates the best return on their investment as a Costco shareholder, and they're not willing to do it. And they're not willing to do it, number one, because they have a board of directors who is includes the former CEO of the Gates Foundation, who's tried to proclaim DEI across the entire country. So they're obviously not unbiased in its view. But also, and I think Chief Justice Roberts said it best, that if you're looking for the way to stop discriminating on the basis of race, then stop discriminating on the basis of race.
Yeah.
And that, again, is the approach that Costco has taken. And they have a code of ethics. And one of their code of ethics said, we want to eliminate racial discrimination. But as our letter highlighted, and I think their shareholders and customers have a right to know, they have policies that directly discriminate based on race and gender.
Well, and you said something a moment ago, too, that I want to key on for a minute. Shareholders are the people who have invested and hold stock in that company, and they have a right to demand the fiduciary obligations of those board of directors to lead the company in a way that gives them a return on their investment. And a lot of folks don't realize there can be a thing called a shareholder derivative action where the company is not being managed well, and the shareholders can say, you're screwing us up and hosing us on our investment. And that's something that you can protect as an AG.
Absolutely. And the liability concerns are real. You know, we saw in the most recent, I guess, 2023 term of the Supreme Court, with the cases involving Harvard and the University of North Carolina, where the Supreme Court very clearly struck down race-based admission criteria and said, this is violative of the law. And we think that that same analysis, as we've seen through private litigation that's already been initiated, where companies have had to rescind these policies in faces of potentially large judgments by plaintiffs that sue them. And if Costco is not being transparent with their shareholders about that potential liability risk, then again, they're violating their fiduciary duty to those who've invested in that company.
Well, there's been a, you know, over the last few years, ESG, I mean, there's so many acronyms, CRT, ESG, DEI, but ESG being the environmental social governance is kind of one of those encompassing things that DEI falls under sometimes. And the ESG rankings that, you know, like BlackRock and others have put on it, and I know that there were a lot of corporations that felt pressured. The environment made them feel pressured. And they're all backing off now. You've had any number of them, like Tractor Supply and Lowe's and Walmart and others that are all backing out of these DEI policies. But for some reason, you've got organizations like Costco, and they're still doubling down like they can't read the room right now.
Yeah, it's really odd. So when, again, knowing that there are liability risks and seeing that trend, when you identified multiple Fortune 100 companies that just in the recent past have said, we're retracting or eliminating our DEI program. But we've also seen the financial institutions, which really were behind many of the ESG principles being imposed on corporations across the country, that they themselves now are pulling out of these net zero alliances where they were trying to use their financial leverage to basically create the Green New Deal. I mean, we've made significant strides, and me and my colleagues have worked very hard on this. Let's get back to the fundamentals. Companies need to be about the business of serving those that either buy their goods or services and maximizing the return for shareholders.
Well, let me ask you one other thing, too, with the last couple of minutes we've got here. Alabama's law that bans DEI in state-funded institutions, education and otherwise, there's been discussion about whether it has any teeth in it. There's a ban. But then if someone wants to ignore the ban or flaunt the ban or just put a new name on something as opposed to really making changes, then you wonder what can be done to address the issue and bring even punitive action, if you will. We've got, for instance, a charter school in the Magic City Acceptance Academy in Birmingham that has refused to take down their DEI policies or change their handbook. They're just still absolutely using the terms DEI. Then you've got, you know, UAB and others that have had just a rebranding of their offices. Is there enough teeth in the current state law for you to take action or for the state to take action as needed?
Yeah, I think the biggest leverage that we have in these areas is the power of the purse strings. Mm. You know, the legislature determines who gets funded and how, and to the extent that you have an entity or an organization that's subject to that law that otherwise is not complying with its parameters, then the legislature has the opportunity to be able to take that next step. But I will tell you, Phil, I have seen significant progress as a result of the legislature taking action in the most recent legislative session. And I think it's particularly involving some of our educational institutions. We've seen that language surrounding DEI be removed. We've seen criteria, particularly in some of the higher education, where DEI statements had to be submitted for somebody to even be considered for employment. There's been change in Alabama, and I think it's been very positive.
Well, I would agree, and I do. I mean, regardless of whether there's concerns about being teeth in the law, I still think we were a leader in passing something at the state level on this one. So kudos to them for that one. Well, Mr. Attorney General, go ahead.
No, as I say, look, let's also give Alabama credit for being one of the beginning states to push back against the child abuse and mutilation of kids.
Yeah.
You know, we should have celebrated as a state President Trump signing that executive order the other day.
Yep.
But if it wasn't for Alabama's efforts, particularly on the litigation front, to expose that fraud, I don't know that we'd be saving children around the world.
No, that's amazing you say that. By the way, that case against the VCAP law is technically still going right now, isn't it?
Technically still going, but the law is in place. And right now, I think it wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see the plaintiffs raise the white flag and surrender, because they're not going to win.
That's exactly what I want to hear. Well, Mr. Attorney General, we appreciate you making time on a Friday afternoon. And thanks again for what you're doing. Just stay in the fight. Keep us posted. All right.
Thank you, Phil.
All right. Take care. That would be Attorney General Steve Marshall of the great state of Alabama. Listen, I mean, right now I will say this, there are some attorneys general around the nation, him being one, Scarametti out of Tennessee being one, and several others. We got, you know, out in Texas, up in Kansas. I mean, there are some Republican attorneys general who have been absolute warriors in the fight for the things that I would say are a part of what we care about as conservatives. They are truly leading the charge. And sometimes people think of attorneys general only as the ones who come in, you know, sort of on the defense, if you will. They come in after the crime. They come in after the indictment or the grand jury proceedings. Not always. Sometimes the attorney general can actually be the firewall against things that shouldn't be happening to the people of their state. And Steve Marshall has embraced that notion. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll tell you more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.